Good evening from Plano, Texas. Word of Life Ministries. I'm Doyle Davidson. I want to welcome all of you throughout the world to this live broadcast, live stream on Roku and others. Amen. I have something I want to announce I'm working on, and I believe it'll come to pass on Thanksgiving Day. I want to have a service in the morning from 9 to 11. 7 would really be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. How about 5? I haven't lost my sense of humor. 9 to 11. After that, we'll have some hors d'oeuvres and drinks and a little dessert from 11 to 1. Then at 6 to 8, we'll have 2 more hours. Now, this is very important to me, and I believe it is God. I want to have descendants of the American Indian speak. I want also descendants of the Mayflower to speak. Also, descendants of New Hampshire, establishing New Hampshire. And the descendants of the Mayflower will be David Kesselwright, Sadie Peters, We might have a surprise by then, who knows. Also, the American Indian, Anthony Reese, Misty Reese, Bob Carpenter, and of course, I happen to have a small amount of Cherokee in me, at least a 32nd. So I'll be speaking, and then also be speaking as a descendant of those that established New Hampshire. David Kesselwright will be involved in that.
Rhode Island.
Who?
Rhode Island.
Oh, Rhode Island. I say New Hampshire. Yeah. Lord, I don't want to insult that much. Rhode Island. I said that twice, didn't I? Yeah. I must want to go see New Hampshire, huh? Well, I've been there. But anyway, Rhode Island. Our ancestors were instrumental in establishing Rhode Island, and they had a great influence in the Northeast, the New England establishing of it, also influenced the Declaration of the Independence. Is that what it's called, Declaration of Independence?
Yes.
Am I correct?
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution. Kathy's going to be talking about the relationship between the Pilgrims and the Indians. She knows a lot about them, and she thinks, a descendant of about 10 off of the Mayflower. But guess what? We don't have any proof of that yet, so we can't put her up here except talk like this. See, we don't presume anything, you know? If we don't have proof, we're not going to say it, thank God. But she's got some things to say. And of course, I'll probably come up with something. I may have to have somebody read for me, how's that? But we're going to have the meeting. It's going to be a great meeting, and I'm well pleased to be able to announce it. Everything is in Zimbabwe, I'm sure you've heard, if you're not, is set to go. We'll be having live stream meetings there. They'll be receiving it before very long. Everything's worked out. All we need is a few days for them to install it all. That's a great blessing. A great blessing. And then, of course, I want to thank God for Jezebel's. Well, Doesn't it say thank God for every man, woman?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Well, so I thank God for Jezebels and the people they live with. All of them. Said, oh, I think you're making fun of them. Huh, I don't have to. They make fun of themselves. So, Bob Carpenter, if you would turn to the second chapter of Philippians, this is a good chapter. I'm looking forward to sharing it as praise the Lord. Let's go.
Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Did you get that? One accord, one mind. One accord, one mind. Did you know that's the body of Christ? One heart, one soul. Did you know that? One heart, one soul. Amazing, isn't it? I recall when God sent me to Plano in 1980, the first message that I spoke in this building, January the 4th, I think it was, maybe it was the 6th, in 1981, I spoke one accord. Amazing how little people can hear, how blind they are, how they're hard of hearing, things of the Spirit. I spoke from, Acts 1, 14, 15, I believe it was. One accord, one place, with prayer and supplication, waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. For the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I spoke of that that first Sunday in this building, 1981. What's that, 32 years ago, plus 32 and a half. And 2 years later, I said something about being in one accord, getting in one accord, and the person that was present that day had to be a man, very religious, self-righteous, full of pride. He said, well, I thought we were in one accord. I said, is that right? Well, you know what? He left the ministry. When Terry Bye died, he thought this ministry was over. He thought it was done. He was ignorant enough to say to me, well, I believe it's time for us to move on. Now, if we're wrong, we'll come back. No, you won't come back. I'll meet you at the front door and escort you to your car. No devils welcome here. We either cast the devils out of you or drive you out with your devils. Amen. So don't think that I am some novice, someone without authority, someone without faith. Someone that doesn't know the gospel and doesn't know Jesus Christ. Don't kid yourself. You're blind if you think that about me. Can we move on, Bob?
Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory.
Get that. Nothing. Be done in strife or vainglory. Next.
But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Get that? In lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Have you ever thought that? Next.
4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Don't look just on your own, but look on things of others. Next.
5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Let's stop right there. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, each and every one of you, that was also in Christ Jesus. And Bob, what is that mind that should be in you?
Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Notice he said he was in the form of God, Jesus, but thought it not robbery. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Next.
But made himself of no reputation.
Did you hear the but? He thought, this is a mind that's to be in you. No, you're not equal to God. The mind that's to be in you, that Jesus thought it was not robbery to be equal to God. But, now this is a mind that's to be in you. Made himself of no reputation. Is that right?
That's right.
Amen. Made himself of no reputation, although he was equal to God. We'll be taking this up next week where Jesus, in Colossians 1, it's recorded, created everything. But made himself no reputation. You and I should not make ourselves any reputation. What's next?
And took upon him the form of a servant.
Did you hear that? Jesus Christ, all you people that think Jesus was God when he was a man on this earth, how blind you are. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Let that mind be in you. Be a servant. Be a servant. Have you ever met one of them that is so high and mighty, don't get close to them? Oh, they are high and mighty. They won't even talk to you. They turn their back on you. You get close to them, they're offended. Oh, I could name names, but I don't have time. I don't want to waste my time on these people. Took upon himself the form of a servant, and then what?
And was made in the likeness of men.
Oh my. Made in the likeness of men. Made in the likeness of men. Took upon himself the form of a servant, as was made in the likeness of men. Yet at one time he was equal to God. Thought it not robbery to be equal to God. Next.
And being found in fashion as a man.
Being found in fashion as a man. Kathy, you know what that word means?
It means to be that.
To be that.
Yes.
A man.
Right.
I know she told me. She looked that up. In other words, he became a servant. He's fashioned as a man. In other words, he was a man.
Amen.
Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? He was a man. Hallelujah. Next.
He humbled himself and became obedient unto death.
Yeah. He was a man and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now that's going from way up here to down here, would you say? From equal to God, became a servant, humbled himself, was a man, and was obedient to what? The death of the cross. Is that right?
Yes, even the death of the cross.
Right. That's how humble he was. That's how he humbled himself. Doesn't it say he humbled himself? Well, you'll get it. What is it? Verse 7, 6?
8.
8?
Yeah, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Yeah, see? He humbled himself. Did you know that's what the church doesn't understand? They don't know how to humble themselves. Oh, they've been taught. They have an example. And you're looking at him. Humbled himself when he didn't want to, but did. Not after he threw a fit. Saw what was necessary and humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Is that kind of what that says?
That's right.
Amen. Did you know Jesus had to humble himself? Humble himself to die on the cross? Did you know he knew what he was facing? Did you know that he knew what kind of persecution and mockery and so forth that he was about to experience? Yet he humbled himself and went to that cross. Next.
Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Whoa. Wherefore? Wherefore referring to what? What he was, what he became, what he did, and what happened because of his obedience to the Father's will. Wherefore? Is God hath exalted him?
Right.
Is that what it says?
That's right.
Read that.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Right. Every name. That the name of Jesus, is that next?
That at the name of Jesus.
Right. Every knee should bow?
Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth.
That's the kind of name he gave him.
Amen.
At the name of Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
Every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things below the earth. You know Wednesday night in here? I was in a great battle, a great one, from Tuesday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's posted today. And I came in here. God changed what I was about to do. Changed what I was about to do. Thank God. Because he knew what he wanted to do and led me to speak, preach the gospel then at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things below the earth, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord, glory to God the Father. Did you know I was going along teaching that, preaching that, and the Spirit of God said, get on your knees. Someone said, well, how come he didn't get on his knees? Because Jesus in me was ministering to those that need to get on their knees. I've been on my knees many, many times. You know what that was? Saying that? Arrogant pride. Arrogant pride. Wherefore God given him a name I'll exalt him, give him a name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, glory to God the Father. Every time, everyone, every knee bow, every tongue confess. They have to. Do you know that? They must. They have to. They'll bow. And what was next?
Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Call to the glory of God. All for his purposes. Nothing else. Does not verse 12 say wherefore?
Wherefore, my beloved.
Right. Go ahead, read it.
As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
You see what's necessary? First of all, you have to have a revelation of what Jesus did. I died, I was buried, I was raised again the third day. That's the gospel. You have to have a revelation that Jesus Christ was a man. He was God, but he humbled himself, became a man. You have to have a revelation that because he was obedient to God, God highly exalted him. And then you have to have a revelation of the name of Jesus Christ and what takes place at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you know what that you can do with that revelation? You can be led by the Spirit of God and believe in the gospel, and you can work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't sound like going to some crusade and getting saved and calling yourself saved eternally. Salvation is a word that describes, actually, it's a word that describes everything that you ever need from God. After you receive Jesus, and at the time you receive Jesus, and afterwards, and until you meet Jesus in heaven or in the air. Amen. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you're going to shake, you're going to tremble. You're going to be nervous, you're going to be afraid. Oh yeah. You know why? Because God wants to shake all that fear out of you. All of it. Every bit of it. What's next, Bob?
13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
You know, if you believe the gospel, do what I just taught you, and pray, be led by the Spirit, it's God that worketh in you both to do his will and his good pleasure. And he's working out the salvation in you as you're praying and following the Spirit of God. Next.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings.
Well, that's a good one. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Next.
That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Blameless and harmless. Among a what? A crooked and perverse
nation.
Nation. People.
Amen.
Is that America? Yes. Is that the world? Yes. Crooked and perverse. Everybody. Crooked and perverse. Everybody. Crooked and perverse. Every person. Amen. What's next?
Holding forth the word of life.
The word of life?
The word of life.
Right. Go on.
That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Amen. Paul said he didn't want to run in vain nor labor in vain. So he wanted to be able to rejoice in Christ, the work he did. Well, wasn't in vain. I have also the same heart, the same desire, the same faith, the same belief. No, I didn't run in vain, though I did labor in vain, though not 1 minute did I, but I obeyed God, and for the past 9 years, I've done exactly what that God wanted me to, and guess what? God brought me through and set me up, and no man could stay the hand of God, no man could stop me, no man could say to God, what are you doing? None of your business. He wouldn't even talk to you. Wouldn't even talk to you, silly people. Next.
Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all.
This is an amazing statement. If I be offered upon the sacrifice.
The sacrifice and service.
And service of your faith, right?
That's right.
That is an amazing statement. You say, explain it. I can't. I just said it.
Amen.
You can't explain the Word of God. Next.
For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me.
Read that again.
For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me.
Amen. The same cause. You joy and rejoice with him. All right, next.
But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state.
Amen. Did you know Paul wanted Timothy to come and tell him what was going on? He was comforted to know their state. I'm the same way, to know your state. You know, I just heard from Africa just recently, and I hadn't heard much from them actually since 1994. And I was so happy to hear from Steady and hear that he was still obeying God. That the things that I taught him years ago sustained him and held him up, and he was walking in them. What a great blessing it was to hear Steady share those words with me, and I'm convinced that what he said to me, he has been doing. Next.
For I have no man like-minded.
Did you hear this? Have no man like Timothy. That is an amazing statement. That, I'm sure you would call it condemnation. Judgmentalism, you say. Paul said he had no man like Timothy, but all, if I correct, minded not the things of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is that what he said?
Right.
Timothy was the only one that minded the things of the Lord. I can say that about myself, and I don't know very many that mind just the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you'd ask me to name them, I'd tell you, be still. I'll say it when the Spirit of God says, speak it. Next.
Who will naturally care for your state.
Care for them, right?
Right.
Amen. Timothy. Good. Let's go.
For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ.
Did you hear that? All. All. Oh, Paul was condemning, critical. No, he wasn't. That's the Spirit of God talking in him. All seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. Next.
But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel.
Timothy. Served as a son to Paul. And Paul served as a father to Timothy. And I also am a father to many. Amen. Next.
Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself should come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger.
Whoa. You got that, messenger? You don't have to do it now. You can trust me till you get home, I guess. I don't know. Don't care. But that word messenger is an apostle. Did you know he was the Philippians' apostle? Did you know every church has an apostle? Every church has an apostle. Next.
And he that ministered to my wants.
He does. Minister to Paul's wants.
Right.
Right. Very good.
For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick.
Right.
For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow.
You know what? That man was an apostle. And he was sick, nigh unto death. Nigh unto death. And what did Paul say about himself? Did he say he was sick too? It made him sorrowful.
Sorrowful, yeah.
Sorrowful. See? So apostles are afflicted. They get afflicted. Some of them think they're going to die. Some of them are close to death. I'm not going to tell you how close to death I've been, because I'm not sure. But I sure thought I was very close. I was just happy to be alive 1 hour later. And I have witnesses. Next.
I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me.
You hear that? The work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Do you believe that? Well, the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. We know somebody that the devil destroyed his body for the work of Christ. Terry Bye. You better know it. God took him. Thank God. God took him. He didn't put him through any sickness. He was sick only a few days. And not sick enough to stay in the hospital. It was all for the work of Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing Terry Bye is to me. And is to my ministry. And what a blessing Terry Bye was and is to his wife and daughters. Amen. And I'll tell you this. When I meet Jesus in the air, when I see Jesus, I want to see Terry Bye. When was that? 9 or 10 when I had that vision?
Early 10.
Had a vision. And you know who was in that vision? Terry Bye and Jesus Christ. Both of them had on black suits. Neither one of them would talk to me. Terry, he just keep moving away from me. I could try to talk to him, and Jesus just stood over there. Never said a word. But I got some instruction about this ministry, about the praise and the worship and the meetings we're doing. And you know what else in that vision? I heard Terry Bye leading worship and praise and singing. And I knew God said that join Terry's work that he left here behind with what you're doing today, and keep right on walking. What a blessing. And you think that I don't want to see him? Oh, I'm not going there yet. When I do see Jesus, I know he'll have Terry standing right there. Amen. He said, standing, you're in the air. Well, look, silly, you can stand in the air. Golly. Well, yeah, Bob, what are we going to do next?
That was the end.
Oh, that's a good place to quit, wasn't it?